I have found in working with hundreds of leaders, everyone has a story of when they have felt a high level of inclusion and when they have felt on the outside. Every single leader can tell you a story when they have been excluded or the other. And by getting them to connect to those stories, they begin to appreciate what some people must feel every single day coming to work.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. A 2018 report by the Human Rights Campaign found that 53% of LGBTQ employees regularly hear negative jokes about gays and lesbians in their workplace. Most LGBTQ employees surveyed believe that nothing will be done if they report this issue. Over time, this creates an unwelcoming work environment, as more than 30% of LGBTQ employees also report feeling depressed and unhappy at work. A lot of companies are trying solutions like unconscious bias training to help eliminate gender, racial, and LGBTQ discrimination. But this only gets you so far because employees often don't know how to apply this knowledge. Some studies even show that unconscious bias training can make people more aware of their prejudice, which reinforces it and makes things worse. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Scott Beth, Vice President, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at Intuit, about how they're tackling this issue through an allyship program. Intuit has implemented this initiative to champion their LGBTQ employees, and now they're using this across all areas of difference. Scott will also share what each of us can do to be an ally at work.
I'm the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at Intuit. And prior to this position, which I assumed a year ago, I've spent 42 years in operations roles, spent 26 years at Hewlett-Packard and 16 years at Intuit in positions such as chief procurement officer, the head of supply chain, workplace, real estate, quote to cash, physical security, IT roles. I was a corporate controller. So I have been very focused on leading inclusive organizations and working towards workplace equality from a line position and being able to develop programs and to inspire others to create diverse environments that are based on belonging and to create a culture of inclusion is an absolute blessing.
Scott's experience as a frontline leader gave him a strong sense of what the business needs when it comes to championing diversity and inclusion. One of the challenges employees often face is knowing what to do. It was out of this need that Intuit's allyship program was born.
We have straight allies who say, I firmly believe in workplace equality and I want to support you, but I don't know how. Would you please give me some guidance around how I can support you? And a small team of individuals, not from the center or the top of the organization, but frontline employees in Tucson, Arizona, created a vision to help educate and engage and inspire allies to support our LGBTQ employees. And when I think about this term of allyship, I've been thinking about how to describe its components or what makes up allyship. And the resulting definition aligns so nicely to how we see the program evolving over time. And our program begins with education. Basic terminology. What is the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation? What is a lesbian? What is a transgender person? We educate our allies on the gay rights movement beginning in the US and the challenges that face LGBT citizens around the world. And then we have interviews and testimonials with leaders and frontline employees to help educate our allies. The second piece of the program is empathy. getting to know individuals on a personal level so that we can improve the dialogue between gay and straight employees. The importance of role models really comes out in this phase of our program. And I'll tell you, when I wake up in the morning, I don't relish, oh, I get to come out again today. But I know that it's my responsibility as a leader to create a culture of authenticity, of inclusion, where everyone can bring their full selves to work. The third piece is advocacy, standing up and saying what needs to be said in support of our LGBTQ employees.
Scott says that all of us can take action at work and in our community to support all minority groups. We can start this by asking ourselves how aware we are of the different identities that employees have at work and the inequality that employees experience as a result of this.
What are you doing to help build community? What are you doing to help lead the improved understanding of what the gay and lesbian and transgender experience is like? And our first training program is what we call the bronze level. It's the education. And we're now working on silver and gold, which grows into empathy and advocacy, culminating in leadership. And this element of empathy is so important to build an environment where people feel like they can be their authentic selves. And I remember as a young gay man in the 80s, the emotional and psychological overhead that it took to protect my authentic self. And it came to the point where I was lying. I was lying about my life. I was lying about the love of my life, my partner, who we've now been together 37 years. But denying that truth is devastating emotionally. And it just erodes productivity because you're constantly thinking of it.
One of the reasons allyship programs are so important is because they address one of the major obstacles to advancing equality at work, which is the lack of awareness. Many employees simply don't know the challenges minority groups face at work.
The vast majority of relationships are based on mutual respect and assuming good intent, and it is a lack of education about the experience. I went to an Out and Equal conference, and I came back and I was invited by the CEO to join his staff meeting, talk about what I learned. When I came and I said, did you know in a majority of US states that there are no protections from discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity in employment or housing? And the reaction I got was really interesting. One leader said, but Scott, we have a non-discrimination policy. And I said, you know, that's great for our employee who happens to work now at Intuit, but if she and her domestic partner, a woman, go to a holiday party and that partner is a school teacher, that partner could be fired the next day for no other reason than she's a lesbian. And people like gasped. They went, oh my God, I never thought about the protection of families and non-discrimination in housing and how we have to be role models of creating an accepting, inclusive environment and help change the policies and the laws and the regulations in this country and beyond.
When it comes to champion equality at work, companies have to make it personal. It has to matter to employees. A business case alone will never be enough to change behavior. One of the ways Intuit does this is by getting employees to share their stories and experiences with one another as part of the education process.
I have found in working with hundreds of leaders, everyone has a story of when they have felt a high level of inclusion and when they have felt on the outside. Every single leader can tell you a story when they have been excluded or the other. And by getting them to connect to those stories, they begin to appreciate what some people must feel every single day coming to work. I start by talking about being beat up as a middle school student on a regular basis because of my sexual orientation, the fact that I made my own clothes, my grandma taught me how to sew, and I was so proud of them. I had them ripped off of me one day at school. So as a leader, my assurance of physical safety and the protection of every employee in this company is paramount to me. I talk about coming out at HP in the 80s and putting a picture of my partner on my desk and what a terrifying moment that was. I talk about the greatest leaders I've had, my mentors, things that I failed at. And I present this at New Hire Orientation. I present this journey line for our new directors and VPs. I'm assuming a new interim role for talent acquisition. I'll be sharing that journey line with 260 employees next week because people need to know, one, how I'm wired as a leader and what's made me who I am today. And two, I am role modeling authenticity. It is imperative that everyone bring their full selves to work.
Allyship programs have many benefits, but the most important one is that they enable leaders and employees to take day-to-day actions to support minority groups at work. Here, Scott shares some of his experiences with this.
Our straight allies make an impact both big and small every day. When a senior leader comes up to me and says, Scott, how's your partner, Keith? Or, God, I remember this. A senior leader came running across the parking lot and said, oh my God, the Iowa Supreme Court just validated or approved same-sex marriage in Iowa. He knew about the decision before I did. As like, wow, I am working at the right place. And my engagement goes through the roof. That simple action made me love Intuit even more. And it took all of 20 seconds to say something. So we're trying to create this culture of curiosity. How do we create an environment where people are truly interested in seeing different perspectives from different people in different cultures? And we find that when we can create an environment of curiosity and we have the courage to try things out and fail fast, that fuels innovation. When you allow people to bring their whole selves to work, they're focused on solving for each other, for customers, ultimately shareholders. It's freeing. And in addition, when we can create this diverse environment that embraces curiosity, that's when innovation is unleashed.
The great thing about allyship programs is that they can be applied to all areas of difference. Intuit is currently expanding theirs to support employees with disabilities and veterans.
As we're talking about this maturity curve of allyship, starting with education through empathy, advocacy, and leadership, it can absolutely be applied to the Black employee experience, the experience of veterans in the workplace. I've learned that 70% of Latino veterans do not share their military experience with their colleagues because they're afraid of how they will be perceived because they've been trained to fight. Isn't that, I mean, that just breaks my heart that someone who has served our country, who has specialized skills, is hiding a part of their background. And how do we do a better job of aligning someone's experience, someone's capabilities to the job at work?
When it comes to advocacy and leadership, Scott says that Intuit has two important messages for leaders, which applies to all organizations.
One message is accountability, and the second message is capability. If you see something, if you hear something that is not aligned to our commitment to diversity and inclusion and the code of conduct that we have to treat each other in a respectful, ethical way, it is your responsibility as a leader to do something about it. And then the second part of the message is capability. We want you to thrive as a leader who can create an inclusive environment. We are investing in you to learn and apply objectivity, growth mindset, including all voices in conversations and creating a culture of belonging. And what I mean by objectivity is addressing unconscious bias, making your criteria for talent-related decisions explicit and transparent. Growth mindset is showing up in an authentic way, owning your mistakes, being able to encourage people to stretch beyond what they think is possible so they learn and grow in the process. Drawing out voices from all people, especially introverts, and thinking about processes by which we include people. And then finally, strategies and techniques to create a culture of belonging. And so It's both the accountability and the capability piece that we're emphasizing.
Finally, Scott shares what each of us can do to be an ally at work.
Be an ally to others. Get educated in the experience of others. Get to know someone who is different from you, and then advocate on their behalf. And if it's someone of a different race, of a different sexual orientation, better understanding women's issues in the workplace, education, empathy, and advocacy. Those are the three major pieces that we should all be focused on.
I really enjoyed speaking with Scott because this topic is so important. It's at the heart of equality. If we don't know what the challenges are that minority groups face at work, we can't begin to take the right actions to remove some of these obstacles. Allyship programs are a fantastic way to begin to tackle this problem, and it's something that I encourage all of you to think about starting in your own workplace. In today's insights, we'll be highlighting three ways you can be an ally at work based on an article published in Inc.com. The first way to support minority groups at work is to make space rather than taking it up. Create space for people to share their stories and experiences of inequality in your workplace. This is how we start to educate each other about our differences. If someone is brave and courageous enough to share their unique experience and perspective with you, honor it. Make sure they are heard and amplify their story. Being an ally is an ongoing process of educating yourself. You won't have all the answers, so the second thing to do is to recognize your blind spots. If you make a mistake, own it. Apologize and learn from it. Try and see it as part of the education process. The third thing each of us can do is to stand up and show up for minority groups at work. Being an ally means being vulnerable and courageous to admit you don't know everything, to speak up for others when it matters most, and to amplify diverse voices in your organization. And that can include anything from attending diversity and inclusion initiatives, supporting women in meetings, or starting an allyship program in your workplace. Thank you all for tuning into today's episode. I really appreciate your support, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.